And welcome to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zamprow, naturopathic physician, herbalist, professor, and host for today's program. And we're really excited always to bring you this cutting edge information on health, wellness, and issues in alternative medicine today. The natural nurse has the day off, and we're going to proceed with bringing on our guests. But remember, you can always find out more information about our lectures and talks and walks and eco tours. Like, we're going to go back to Jamaica in March. We got interrupted from our usual schedule due to COVID, but we're going to be going back in March. We'll announce those dates and let you know. And we have a pending date to go on our tour of Chinatown to study Chinese medicine in the fall, and all our fun shops. And you can get more information at naturalnurse.com. The natural nurse is the holder of our of our schedule and calendar. So naturalnurse.com, but you can always contact me at drznaturally.com. Well, we have an exciting guest. We have Dr. Vatsala Sperling, and she has many degrees, master's, doctorate degree in clinical microbiology, but she's also a practicing homeopath, which I'm always fascinating because I've been doing homeopathy as a classical trained homeopath for a very long time, and also is very much interested in Ayurvedic medicine. And she's the author of several books, including the one we're going to be speaking about this program, The Ayurvedic Reset Diet. Growing up in India, she saw the application of Ayurveda in daily life firsthand. And in this book, Ayurvedic Reset Diet, she discusses her lifelong passion for using the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda in enhancing the wellness of the mind, body, and spirit. So we're really excited to bring her on. So welcome to the program.
Dr. Z, thank you very much for having me. And I'm delighted to learn that you're a naturopath.
Yes, I'm one of the founding fathers of the University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine, which is the only program on the East Coast. And I've been a professor there for over 20 years teaching the next generation of naturopathic physicians. So,
thank you for having me on your show.
Very good, very good. Well, tell us a little bit about your background, because, you know, when I teach medical history, I remember reading this very interesting section in a book on history throughout the world on Ayurveda, that many doctors actually kind of spurn the knowledge of Ayurveda as being too not scientific. And there was a movement of India, probably with English colonialism, to more embrace the more modern ways and leave the ancient ways behind. What's your comments on all that?
What you said is very true. There was a movement in India around the time when the colonists were camping in our country for a while. So the trend was to declare everything Indian as useless, filthy, dirty, or pointless, basically. But what happened, that trend didn't last very long. It started and it died off, like several different trends. So what happened is people in India, they still realize that their roots go back way, way, way deeper than the world can understand. So there are a segment of people who will say, well, embrace the Western science and do the, you know, the material way of living. But there is also a huge population segment in India which goes for the tradition, which goes for, which believes in what is old is gold. So Ayurveda, to come back to your question, has survived not 100 years, not 500, not 1,000 years, but many, many, many thousands of years. In our history, In India, there are four sacred texts, so to speak. They are called the Vedas. In them, there is a mention of Ayurveda. And we are told in those sacred literature that Ayurveda was not invented, but it was revealed to the wise men in olden days. And they continued the tradition by oral tradition, not by writing it down, but by teaching to the next generation of student, and then the next, and then the next. But in modern times, say about 5,000-7,000 years ago, it started to get written down. So the original wise person who received the revelations of Ayurveda is known as Charaka. He was trained in this system of Ayurveda, and he wrote it all down. So Ayurveda has a complete system for the body, mind, and spirit, including surgery, including preventive medicine, including public health and social hygiene, including dietary rules and regulations, essentially how to live life. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't deal with the sick people. It also deals with healthy people and teaches us how to live right, how to live well. So India hasn't dropped Ayurveda at all. Even though there was a little bit of attempt to discredit it, it's going strong. It is.
Yes, that's very great. I'm happy to hear that. And there are many programs throughout India where people can study Ayurveda, because that's kind of the lifeblood of the future of you know, medicine, is the young people coming to be interested to take over. I'm at the point where I'm kind of closer to retirement than beginning, that's for sure. So, you know, it's good to train the next generation of, yes, of physicians.
Yes, in India, we have several programs and postgraduate schools and undergraduate schools which teach a full curriculum of a doctor of Ayurvedic medicine and surgery. So those programs are there, and youngsters, they are joining it, they are learning it, they are keeping it alive and well. Not only that, the government of India in recent years has recognized that alternative health practices are vital to sustaining a society. So they have created a ministry called AYUSH, A-Y-U-S-H. The first letter is Ayurveda. The second one is yoga. Third letter U is Unani medicine. S is Siddha medicine. And H, letter H in the end, is homeopathy. So they have, the government of India has done its very best to create this ministry called AYUSH, which promotes the study and propagation of alternative health sciences. So that way, India is doing very well in this regard, in teaching the next generation to pick up the torch and run with it.
Wow, that was great information. I didn't know about that. Thank you so much for sharing. So what was your personal story as far as inspiring you to write this book, The Ayurvedic Reset Diet?
The personal story is very much connected to how I was raised. So, you know, many people consider a Hindu, the word Hindu, as a religion. But actually, when you dig deeper, Dr. Z, it is a way of life. How is that way of life formed? That is formed on the basis of the traditions which have been handed down to the generations from older generations. So what I saw growing up in India, actually not in a tiny village, I was in an industrialized township, growing in a city which had, you know, universities, colleges, medical schools, hospitals, running water, electricity, you know, all the modern comforts. But it was in the 60s when I was growing up there. What I saw in my home, my parents, My dad lived to his 90s and my mom lived to her late 80s. Healthy people till the last days of their lives. They raised us on the principles of Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. So our day-to-day life was not different from how it could have been a few hundred years ago, so to speak. Grounded in the nature, rooted in the soil, rooted in the rhythm of the seasons, rooted in seasonality. Along with that, the parents taught us the basic rules of living, rules of hygiene, and rules of social engagement and so on, and the rules around food, cultivation, preparation, cooking, eating, or the spiritual, the religious angle of those things. So I saw these things at home, and that created the foundation. Several decades later, I came to the West and saw what is actually going on, I was kind of saying, hey, I've seen a better way and I've grown up with it. So why don't I touch base with that and actually tell my clients, you can do something about yourself. So that creates the foundation of my book or my interest in Ayurveda, the personal lived childhood experience.
Yeah, you mentioned the West. There just doesn't seem to be any philosophy of eating or growing up or hygiene or any type of things. I mean, we're taught to take showers every day, but as far as diet and lifestyle and the connection with the mind and the body and what you guys call the doshas, your constitution, that's very foreign to Western. There's really no system like Ayurveda here in the West.
You know, this is a new phenomenon, Dr. Z. A few hundred years ago, I would say before colonization, before industrialization, when each continent had its own population of indigenous people, they lived very much in tune with the nature. They ate what they could grow. They ate what they could hunt. Then comes colonization, which says to the native people, bugger off, you don't belong here. We own the country, and the countries are taken over. And then comes massive industrialization, which considers people as a little cog in the wheel. They are there to produce and to consume. In that philosophy, the more I produce, the better I am. The more I consume, the better I am. So that materialistic industrial philosophy has taken over the continents, the societies, the mindset of people. As a result, they have lost touch with their tradition and their indigenous ways of living. It's homogenized. For example, French fries, you can find in the entire world. Probably you will even find it on Mars or on Moon when the astronauts go there. Okay? So it has become like a global thing. But to which tradition does it belong? Just to industrial tradition, mass production.
Right. Tell me a little bit about the principles of Ayurveda and eating, and let's talk about a couple of vocabulary words that we should allow the listeners new to Ayurveda, like a dosha. Very important to understand that people are born a certain way with certain qualities, certain constitutional traits, and that actually is a, that and other things, of course, are blueprints for what they should be doing. And I guess that's why we need to do an Ayurvedic reset at some level if we're not doing those types of things. So we're kind of violating the laws of nature according to Ayurveda. Why don't you expand on that?
So essentially, the doshas are not a negative connotation words. Somebody will say, oh, I have Vata dosha, I have Pitta dosha, I have Kapha dosha. They are not necessarily bad descriptions of an individual. They are the tools given to an individual by nature so that they can work on themselves and get past the stumbling blocks on their way to wellness. For example, a Vata person can avoid a certain type of food preparations, can go for certain type of exercises to enhance their wellness. So they can work with these basic doshas, so to speak. They are not negative. They are the tools given to us with which we can work. Now, where does this Ayurvedic reset diet fit in? When you mentioned that the modern world seem to have forgotten the old ways, that is where Ayurvedic reset diet fits in. Ayurveda itself, as I told you before, is a way of living and is a complete medical science rooted in the ancient past, several thousand years ago. So I'll give you one little personal example of why I chose this title even. So I was telling you, Dr. Z, about my childhood experience of growing up with Ayurveda at my home. So in that setup, what happened, I'll tell you a little bit about India. It's a fun place. One day, hopefully you'll go if you have already not been there. We have many, many, many festivals. And in those festivals, there is a very royal food preparation. You know, we gorge on happy food and festival setting and fun. Next day, the tummy is talking because, you know, we did a little too much of something. Right. So when my mom saw that, she was never in shortage of ideas about how to solve a problem. She saw a problem, she would never sit down worrying about it or fretting about it. She'll just get to work and solve the problem. So when she saw us, children whimpering around, holding their tummy, I come from a family of six, and six children with tummy upset is a lot for a mother to deal with. So what she would do, she would put us on a simplified program. She'll say, you know, children, for a day, just fast on water. So mom is saying, so okay, mommy, we fasted on water. Then what she would do, she would introduce food, one simple item for the day. Say rice cooked like a little gruel. She'll say, just have this today. So we had that. And the next day or so, she will give us one more ingredient or component of the food. So she would build us up gradually. So what was the outcome of this? Our digestive upset went away right away because of the fasting on water. Then our body reset itself because we were put on a mono diet. And as a result, we never had to run to a medical practitioner for a prescription or antibiotics or anything like that. We just got over the problem by following the simple Ayurvedic techniques. So that is what I recollected. I said, you know what? With this industrialized food, which is being overconsumed, the way out of that is the Ayurvedic reset diet. How do we do it? That's what I have described in my book.
Right. So you mentioned a couple of concepts. So first of all, we should talk about the individual doshas and not assume that our listeners know about those things. And then also the idea of a mono diet, because this is a universal concept in medicine and in natural medicine. I'm sure that the old time naturopaths maybe got it from the Ayurvedic studies. Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit about the different types of doshas, because that's sort of the roadmap to understand what you should be eating to reset your whole body, metabolism, and your whole life.
You know, actually, Dr. Z, I have based this book not on the doshas specifically, because that would be going deep into Ayurvedic body types and constitutions. I have not gone in that route. However, that is a very valid question that you have asked for the benefit of your listeners. So I acknowledge that and I respect your sensitivity in that regard. But this book itself is not based on solving those three puzzling words and how to deal with the food in relation with the doshas. I have not gone in that angle. I'll tell you one reason for it. Because I wrote this book not as an Ayurvedic practitioner. Mm-hmm. I wrote this book as a simple tool, how to solve a particular problem using that tool. That's what the book is about. So I would go into, I would rather stay away from Vata, Pitta and Kapha discussion, if you're okay with that. Sure. And I would rather go in this direction of just how to use this reset diet to reset your body, to reset what has been going wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. So, and I love the idea of mm-hmm. that you can apply concepts without having to be, you know, an Ayurvedic practitioner, which is complex. So yes. Fasting. So well, then you mentioned the mono diet and uh-huh. fasting in that story. So those are very amazing. Mm-hmm. There's even modern scientific research about fasting and how it helps people with a myriad of health conditions. Yes. You know, my expertise is in rheumatology. I've written books on it and lectured internationally. And when people go on a fast like that, described in your book, their aches and pains go away. And they've actually done modern research where they've seen their inflammatory parameters in their blood work actually go down. The CRP, the SED rate, a lot of these, even antibodies against the body. So fasting really does reset the physiology.
Yes. So I'll give you one personal anecdote to expand upon the question that you have asked. What happened is I had just completed my classical homeopathy training, and I just hung my shingles outside my little office in rural Vermont, calling it Rochester Homeopathy. And now I'm going to be a homeopath. So the very first person comes in. She has what she calls it, a diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome. And as you know, from being a naturopath, what homeopaths do, they ask many, many questions about this and that. And one of the questions is definitely about, so tell me what you like to eat or what is your favorite flavor and so on. So I was investigating that. So she told me for her breakfast, what she eats, for her snack, lunch and dinner, what she eats. When I heard that description, the bell rang off in my head. I said, where are the fruits? Where are the vegetables? Where is water in what you have described as your daily food intake? There was no vegetable, no fruits, no water intake, so to speak. So I had a choice to make. I said, you know what? I can do my job of being a classical homeopath. I can give her the remedy, send her home, collect my fee, call it a day. Or I can tell her the truth and hold the remedy. So I chose to go the second path. I told her what it was as the foundational cause of her suffering. I said, look, lady, you have to repair your connection with your food. And the remedies will help you. But if you don't clean up your diet, the remedies will do only so much. They're not going to completely wipe the slate clean. You have to have a different relationship with your food. I thought, you know, she will never come back because I told her to clean up her diet. People generally don't like to hear that. So I thought, I'm done. My very first client, I blew it, and she's not going to ever come back. And not just that, in a small town, she's going to tell everybody. So, you know, I put myself at risk. But a week later, she was back. She said, you know, tell me what you wanted to speak to me about. What can I do to help myself? That person was my inspiration to say, you know, I'm going to actually sit down one day and write this book. That was way back in 2008. Then over the years, to several clients, I gave the same recommendations about reset diet. And their life, their pathology, their blood picture, their diagnosis, their disposition, their relationship with the food, those began to turn around. Like you said, the CRP level goes down. Hey, you know, I'm not treating the CRP level, but because of change in the way you eat, what you eat, when you eat, your inflammatory parameters are coming down and you're becoming free of inflammation. So over the years, when I saw it in action, how it actually helps people, I said, you know what? People need to know more about it. So I sat down and wrote this book. So essentially, Dr. Z, the book goes into three sections. One is fasting on water only. The second one is a stage of mono diet on fruits only or vegetables only. And the third step is smart combining of various food groups so that they're not fighting in the belly and creating gas and constipation. Mm-hmm. So I have expanded on these three essential basic ideas that are grounded in Ayurveda, and those make the foundation of this book.
Now, what types of issues should people do a Ayurvedic reset diet? Like they might be listening and say, well, you know, I have a skin ailment, or I'm tired, like the chronic fatigue patient that you mentioned. By the way, I would probably give her arsenicum.
actually, she was not arsenicum type.
Okay.
She was not. Huh? So it came across my mind, but she did not fit with the remedy arsenicum. So I did not give her that. I rather taught her how to do the Ayurvedic reset diet, and she's still on my list. She's still my client. Uh-huh. So, I mean, she got better and so many good things happened, but she then considered me in the part of her healing team.
So when people hear fasting, Vatsala, they maybe think of it as starvation, and they might be afraid. Can you talk about that and allay people's fears about fasting?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, fasting itself is a concept deeply rooted in the human experience as well as in animal experience. I'll give you one little situation that I noticed just recently. We have a dog in the house, no bigger than a loaf of a bread, tiny little dog. He got hurt somewhere. Something happened and another dog attacked him and he got badly injured. He brought himself to the house. He sat in a place. For next 3 days, he did not take even a drop of water. No matter what we offered him, milk or rice or a little bit of egg, he refused to eat that. For 3 full days and nights, the dog just sat there, and his body was healing itself. At the end of the 3rd day, he chose to step out in the lawn outside and take care of nature's call. And from 4th or 5th days, he started limping around and walking and gradually consuming food. Who told this little dog to fast for 3 days and nights? Nobody said to him, but the system is built into his physiology that when the body is under stress from exterior and interior causes, the best thing is to allow the body the time to deal with it. And one way you can do it by withholding food to a certain extent so that the body is not worried about digesting food meal after meal after meal after meal. It can conserve that energy and redirect it, repurpose it, refocus it on healing processes. So when water fasting is undertaken, first of all old cultures have this system of fasting for a few days, for a day, for 2 days, for various religious, spiritual reasons. All the cultures have had fasting in their system, in their social way of living. But what happened when industrialization took over, There is mass production of food, mass consumption of industrially grown and cultivated and harvested food, and people are eating 3 full meals and a few snacks every day, 365 days in a year. As a result, they have N number of physical, emotional, and mental problems connected with bad food, connected with eating too much of bad food, not just bad food, a little bit, a too much consumption. So what fasting does, it gives a day of break. And people have enough reserve, enough calories stored away in their bodies that they can deal with one day of fasting on water only. It will flush the body. It will take away the toxins. And the person will experience a little bit of exhaustion, maybe the desire to sleep a little bit, rest a little bit. Go with it. That is necessary. And water is doing its job of cleaning us right from our oral cavity all the way to the other end. And it helps flush the old deposits, bad germs, and so on. So fasting is an essential component in human understanding as well as in animals. They know physiologically to fast. And also in recent times, I've studied Australian Aborigines, Dr. Z, and what they used to do, say like 250 years ago before Australia was colonized, and there are written here records of these people, what they used to do, they would hunt the animal that is available in a locality, and they will hunt for that day because they didn't go freezing and refrigeration and cold storage and so on. They hunted and they ate. The woman would gather fruits and nuts and seeds, whatever grew in their locality, they would eat that. Then there would be seasons when the produce from the nature or the animals were in scarcity, so they'll reduce their food intake. That was called fasting. They reduced their food intake. So fasting on water and reduced amount of food is a part, essential part of healthy living. And when people feel a little bit nervous, a little bit, kind of concerned, they just have to familiarize with the basic principles of that. And they'll get over this fear.
When is the best time to do our Ayurvedic reset diet that you're talking about in your book?
Yeah, I'd say, for North country, it wouldn't be very smart to pick it up when temperatures are dipping below 30 degrees, a peak of winter. That wouldn't be the best time. I would say spring, when fresh produce is available. I'd say summer and fall, where there are more vegetables, more options to choose from. Spring, summer, and fall, they are good times, but not to take this up in the peak of winter. And if somebody is, extremely underweight, I would say they will have to consider carefully what they want to do and not deprive themselves of further nutrition.
How would you prepare for doing the Ayurvedic reset diet? Say somebody wanted to start doing it for balancing your body.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. So first of all, a person has to make an assessment if they are in the right time and place in their life, in their climate, in their locality, if they are in the correct situation to start this program. Once they have that assessment, then comes the fun part. And what is that fun part? I've gone into the book in Ayurvedic Reset Diet. I have mentioned that. They go through their pantry and kitchen, pull out all industrial food, which have colors in them artificially colored and pesticides, chemicals, preservatives, fried, deep fried, 25 times fried, frozen for 5 years, and so on. All the packaged industrial goods, they pull it out from their fridge, their freezer, their pantry. They just put it all in a bag and send it to the compost pile or wherever they want to send it, okay? Then what happens, suddenly the kitchen and pantry looks pretty empty. Oh dear, it's empty because all the junk food is gone. So then I tell them, don't worry, go shopping. So what are they going to shop? They are going to shop whole foods. vegetables which actually look like vegetables. They have grown in the neighborhood. They have been grown without pesticides and chemicals and so on. They'll buy real, live, fresh food, whether it's grain or fruits or meats or vegetables, real food, whole food. They buy small quantities of that. They stock up their fridge and freezer. They do a couple of days, one day on water only, and the next day on water with herb tea and a little bit of honey. And then they start a mono diet on vegetables. See, the thing is, the mono diet part, Dr. Z, allows people to cleanse themselves. At the same time, they are not feeling starvation at all, because periodically they are receiving sustenance. They are eating a portion of vegetable or fruit. It's just a mono diet. They are getting to eat their meals and snacks of one particular fruit or vegetable. So they do that for 5 days or 7 days or so, and then they graduate to combining food. So the preparation part is to understand how to do this fasting reset diet, and then how to shop for healthy food, and how to start with mono diet. Those are described in this book in great detail.
Now, you mentioned about food combining. That would mean that there are sometimes not very good foods that people should be mixing together that could cause, like you mentioned in the beginning of our program, a bellyache or worse. Yeah. So there's some things that go well with others. I think intuitively people know that. But, you know, at a party, they may eat, you know, cake and junk food and mix this with the meal and with their sodas and their other things like that. And then at the next day, they may feel like they have a food hangover or just don't feel well within the digestive tract or worse.
Yes. You know, I observed this when I moved to the West. My husband and I, we would go to a restaurant and I see, look around, I'm curious that way to see what people are eating. So they had their huge meal. I mean, I was shocked at the size of the American dinner plate. And I'm wondering, you know, how can you eat so much? Where is the room? So anyway, I didn't go to anybody and say, you're eating too much. It's their life and whatever way to live it, but I was observing. So at the end of the meal, they order dessert. First of all, the meal itself has a huge hunk of meat and a lot of potatoes and so on. And sometimes I even saw them picking up the green vegetable and keeping it on the side because it's too green for their taste. They wouldn't have it. They'll have their meat, they'll have their potatoes. And then comes dessert. Huge supply of ice cream. It could feed 5 people, but one person is having it. And then they order coffee. So what happened? They had their meat, they had a heavy carbohydrate. On top of that, they had sugar. On top of that, they had hot coffee at 8 o'clock at night. Naturally, they're not going to feel sleepy and they'll come to you saying, oh, I'm insomniac. No, change your diet, change the way you eat. Your insomnia will go away. Okay, so in this combining of food, there are various ingredients that are all consumed at the same meal. As a result, what is happening, you know, from being a naturopath, from being a physician in this alternative science, you know that digestion of carbohydrates and sugars, simple sugars, it begins in the mouth with the amylase production. So that digestion has started. And then in the stomach acid is going to work on a protein component and so on. So what is happening in the digestive system, food ingredients which have digested quicker are sitting around trapped with the food ingredients which take much longer to digest. A piece of meat is going to require a lot more time to digest than a scoop of ice cream. But in that intestine, they're all sitting together. So the ones that have digested sooner, what do? they produce gas, and they produce a lot of gas and a lot of gas and a lot of gas. So people are complaining bloating. And then there is no green vegetable in your plate. Obviously, the next day there is constipation. So they're complaining of constipation and so on. So this kind of faulty food combining, it's not done just one day when they're eating in the restaurant. This goes on day after day after day for the rest of their lives, since young age. So this wrong combination of food leads to a lot of digestive system diseases, a lot of inflammatory processes in the body, a lot of basic repulsion from what you're eating. You know, people get sick of it. So it leads to all those. It also leads to some form of, you know, like you're not interested in your meals. It's just a chore. You're not even looking at your food. You're looking at your cell phone. That kind of disconnect, all those set in. But in this book, Ayurvedic Reset Diet, after the mono diet part, I have written about how to take different food ingredients in different times of the day so that you give enough time in between to digest what you've eaten and to clear it out of your system so that there is food ingredients are not fighting for your digestive system real estate. Each one is free to come and go. Mm-hmm. So all those details, I find it exquisitely interesting, which I've gone into this book, and I hope your listeners will find benefit from it.
Yeah, that's so interesting that there's a science of understanding these things. There's no science when people shop and they prepare their meals and eat whatever they want at a restaurant or whatever. There's no rhyme or reason about it. And you're saying that in Ayurveda, and spelled out in your book, there is a science that people should follow.
Definitely. You know, basically, you must have heard, you must have taught to your students as a naturopathic physician. There is one idea about I live to eat, and then there is parallel idea about I eat to live. When you make a resolution that you're going to eat just to live, not for a consumerism, then your eyes become wide open to the possibilities that exist for mending your relationship with food purchase, food cultivation, food preparation, food intake. Our life revolves around food. It's an essential component of food, and Ayurveda describes food as sustaining five different koshas in our being. Annamaya kosha, which is sustained by food. Pranamaya kosha, the life, which is again sustained by food. Manomaya kosha, the mind, which is sustained by food. Jnanamaya kosha, our wisdom, knowledge, that kosha is also supported by food. And Anandamaya kosha, the blissful spiritual being that resides in us, that is also supported by food. Mm-hmm. So food is an essential component of our life, but we have to consume it as if it is our medicine. So food is our medicine, and we eat to live, not live to eat. That simple outlook change is supported by Ayurveda. It is grounded in Ayurveda, and it will allow people to repair their fundamental relationship with food and eating. And they can follow a simple system of how to go about doing it by this reset diet method.
There's a quote that I have on my wall. I'll read it. Says, and it's an Ayurvedic proverb, when diet is wrong, medicine is of no use. When diet is correct, medicine is of no need. So it's kind of like what you're saying.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you have this pasted right on your wall. Yeah. And it must be inspiring for people to read that and say, oh, what is that? You know? So good job.
Thank
good
you.
Job. Yeah.
So there seems to be a lot of benefits from, excuse me, from doing the Ayurvedic reset diet. What have you share with some patients or patients that have gotten well from a myriad of things by doing this program? Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a homeopath, you know, as a naturopath, you can say you are diagnosing and treating. But in the USA, the homeopaths do not say that. So as a classical homeopath, I do not say that I diagnose any disease or I treat any disease or give them any medicine. Our homeopathic organization makes sure that we know that particular part and we don't go around pretending to be physicians, okay? So I don't do that. But what happens, clients come to me for various complaints. Obviously, they are coming to me for help with something. So they describe their discomfort or whatever is the problem. And I go over that. I try to understand what component can be directly addressed by deploying a remedy or a couple of remedies if they need it. What aspect of their life is connected with what they're doing to themselves? Okay. And food is one of the major components where people are, they're not aware and they just do what they see on the TV or they do what their grandparents did. I don't know. They get mixed up about food. Okay. And then they try to be, do the right thing by become gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, chocolate-free. The kind of, they start looking at food with fear. Food is their enemy. Uh-huh. That kind of outlook also develops. And then they come with various complaints, you know, like headaches and digestive upsets and obesity and joint pains and depression and so on. I hear their complaint, obviously, and then deploy the remedies. And at the same time, if they're ready for it, not everyone feels ready to make a life-changing decision. If they're ready for it, I recommend to them the Ayurvedic reset diet, and I walk them through the process because basically they don't know what to do sometimes. So I walk them through the process step by step. And what happens, they come back with improved sense of well-being. That is number one. And in homeopathy, there is a very beautiful word, you must know it, the vital force. So their vital force is waking up and getting on board with repairing their body and their mind and their spirit. So they experience a overall overarching sense of well-being. Definitely their digestive complaints get better. Definitely. Their inflammatory processes begin to reduce. Their temperament and disposition also undergo changes. I'm not saying a lion becomes a cat and a cat becomes a horse. I'm not saying that. But they become sometimes a mellower, better version of themselves, more at peace with themselves. That is important. Whether a person is in peace with themselves, then they can be at peace with other people. It begins with them. So with a change in the diet, with a remedy in place, a lot of so-called disease labels begin to lose their grip on the individual. So can I say I'm curing them of arthritis or curing them of heart attack or heart conditions? No, I don't make those claims. But I do see in my practice how people turn around. And that is very, very extremely gratifying.
Right, it's wonderful to see that the change in people just through some simple things that have been handed down through the millennia. You know, not rocket science, but science in a different way. You know, because the ancients looked at this, they used it, they applied it. It's in other words, even though Ayurveda seems like a new it's like the newest rage and, you know, like the newest fad type of thing. It's not a fad. It's been around for many, many millennia. So that's what I like to do, is apply these, what I think are truths, universal truths that have been time tested, like fasting and mono diets and eating properly. And we see so many benefits from that too. I concur with you. Now, can people go about their routine life while doing these things? Because, you know, when people in the old days, when people would go on a fast, they would have to go to a place and be, you know, unplugged from, for instance, if you're a mom busy cooking for your children.
Yes.
It is difficult to fast. I've had this experience myself fasting, and my wife was really nice that she would feed the children and herself early and air out the house, so that when I got home from seeing patients, I didn't have the smell of food in the house and the temptations and things like that. Because fasting can be, it can be tough to fast in the beginning stages.
Yeah. What's happening is, in some fasting, there is actually total deprivation of food. So people get into a mindset, oh, gee, if I'm fasting, I'm not going to be starving. I'm going to be so thin. I'm going to be so depleted. Those wrong notions are washed away from this Ayurvedic reset diet, because after a day of water only fast and a day of water and herb tea, you're allowed to eat and you're getting some baseline calories from healthy sources, from wholesome whole food sources. So you're not starving, you're not hungry so badly that all you can think about is food. So that fear, that aspect of fasting is just gone when people try to do Ayurvedic reset diet. So in my practice, I've seen busy mothers, executives, college professors, young students, you know, single people, they're living by themselves and they do whatever, because there is no company to dictate what they should or shouldn't do. Uh-huh. So all range of people have tried and they have done it quite successfully, actually. So I would say, I think the credit actually goes to the idea that there is a baseline intake of food. So you are not starving and just fantasizing about the next meal. So it's very doable. Yeah, it's very, very doable. And you can go about your daily activities when, you know, Dr. Z, before I tell something to my clients and sound like a pundit trying to advise them, I actually try it on myself, because I want to be sure that I'm not speaking ungrounded facts. Uh-huh. So I did the Ayurvedic reset diet as I had seen in my home, in my childhood. I just did it. And at the end of that, I was very peaceful, very relaxed, happy with the way the body was responding and so on. So I talk with my clients and say, you know, you do not have to be afraid that it's, oh, Ayurveda from outer space, how can I do it? No, you do not have to be afraid of it. Embrace the experience, embrace the little changes that you can make for your own well-being, and embrace the possibility that in your hand, you have the key for your wellness, for your well-being. So it makes people hopeful and positive about what they can do to help themselves using simple tool of Ayurvedic reset diet. It's not a rocket science.
Well, where can listeners find the book so they can get started and knowledgeable about how to do the Ayurvedic reset diet?
I'll tell you that. First of all, they can get it from the publishing company directly. And the publisher is www.innertraditions.com. It's a 45 years old publishing house located in Vermont and deals with all the alternative subjects. That is one source. And then, of course, if they like to shop on Amazon, they can find it on Amazon. or any local bookstore is carrying it as well. I've checked that. So very widely available on Amazon, in any local bookstores, as well as with the publishing company at innertraditions.com.
Very nice. And your website is rochesterhomeopathy.com?
Correct. It is rochesterhomeopathy.com, where, you know, it's a basic information about my homeopathy practice.
Wow, that's great. Well, we're going to, we have three more minutes before we sign out. Is there anything else that we should cover before we have to close our interview today?
Sure. I just want to assure people that following the simple technique of fasting, mono diet, and smart food combining, people can take charge of their own well-being. And the techniques are grounded in the ancient science of Ayurveda. It is essentially time-tested, not laboratory-tested, so to speak. And they get the key of their well-being in their hand, and they can go ahead with confidence, with a certainty that they can actually make a change in their life, and they can embrace the age-old philosophy of how to get better in their body, their mind, and spirit. And the technique is extremely simple that they're able to follow in their own home. They don't have to go to a retreat center or go away somewhere to the forest to fast. They don't have to do that. They can do it in their home. That's the beauty.
Wonderful, yeah. Our guest today, Vatsala Sperling, holds a doctorate degree in clinical microbiology, and she's a practicing homeopath, author of several books, including the one we've talked about today, The Ayurvedic Reset Diet. And of course, growing up in India, she saw the application and Ayurveda has lived it and has firsthand knowledge of what she shares. And it's a very simple, sounds like a simple book to read and understand and apply to your life. And I'm so happy that she was here to share this information and kind of demystify the process. I think that's part of the main thing, is to make things simple so that people can really, you know, apply that saying, when diet is wrong, medicine is of no use. When diet is correct, medicine is of no need. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much for having me in your show. I loved talking with you and answering your questions. I hope your listeners will truly enjoy what they have heard today and be able to follow these in their own lives. Thank you very much, Dr. Z.
Very welcome. And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We want to ask you to continue to support Progressive Radio Network and, of course, stay healthy. Bye-bye.